Shells by the seashore. Sally sells seashells by the seashore. I have no audio. Sally sells seashells by the seashore. Sally sells seashells by the sea. Not that I need audio, because having done this for 15 years, I pretty much know the introduction to Stating the Obvious by heart. I can actually do the introduction without having the introduction playing and get the timing completely right. That's how many times I have heard You Know I'm Right by David Gilmour from his 1984 album About Face. And good morning, children.
You can scream and shout.
Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan, look for a motherfucking safe space, this ain't it.
Dig in your heels and hold on tight.
You can shove your opinions up your ass, that way the Trump and Fuhrer's cock has something to keep it company.
Either you are wrong, or I am right.
And don't forget, the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility, you are wrong, and I am right. Go fuck yourself. Greetings, friends and enemies. It is the Great One himself, founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society. This right here that you are listening to, it is Stating the Obvious podcast. It is the weapons platform from which I launched the cruise missile, my intellect. The cruise missile. The statist-seeking cruise missile with a nuclear warhead that homes in on and destroys motherfucking statist all over the world. Does not matter what kind of statist you are. Not one fucking bit. You could be a left-wing statist, a right-wing statist, you could be a cyber statist, you could be an eco statist, you could be a femi statist, you could be a fag statist, you can be a tranny statist, you can be a brain cramp. God damn it, I was on a roll, I was doing so good. What's the word? It's a word that shouldn't exist, because there's no such thing. Anarcho-communist statist. Right, anarcho-communist. God, Christ. I got an article here I got to do in the near future. I was actually going to do it for the Christmas episode. It's about Satanist. And if you've been here for a while, you know that the Great One used to be a Satanist. And I have talked about the Satanic Bible in the past, and there are things in the Satanic Bible that I think have a lot of value, yada, yada, yada. But once again, and see, now I can't even go. But we're going to read this article. And we're going to talk about how everything becomes contaminated. We're going to talk about why the Great One, as a Satanist-leaning atheist, would rather live in a world with Christians than with other Satanists. Anyhow, that's not what we're going to talk about today. Today is, what is today? Holy fuck, it's already the 23rd. Today is the 23rd of January in the year of our Lord and Savior, the Trump and Fuhrer 2020. We don't have flying cars. We don't have hoverboards. We don't have teleportation. I've talked about this before. Have you noticed that technology has really come to a complete fucking standstill? Scientific technological advancement has stopped. I mean, yes, I understand that Apple released a new iPhone 12 or whatever, and it's half a millimeter thinner than the last iPhone. Okay, that's not progress. Nothing that's happening today is changing the world the way steam engines or flight. I mean, the entire human species, and by that I mean white people because we've done everything, everything is stopped. Progress has completely stopped. We have no moon base. We have no flying cars. Yeah, and everything in our society now revolves around the internet and computers and cell phones. Everything that we're doing is, well, how do we digitize this? How do we make a smart app that tracks your location and sells it to corporations? Like everything in our society, we're no longer making any kind of actual physical, tangential, real world progress. Everything is about, well, how can we sell more stuff on the internet? But that's not what we're going to talk about today. Shit, where are my notes? Hang on. Pretty sure they're in the other room. Of course they were in the other room. I mean, where else would they be? All right. What am I grateful for today? Today, I am grateful for listener emails. Gotten a couple more emails from listeners, including the one woman who listens to my show. And I've got to sit down soon and go through listener emails. And I'm putting it off only because I want to be able to sit down and do it justice. And I've been busy as shit. I'm going to be working all night tonight. It's going to be an overnighter. Got a big event this weekend. Got another event next week. It's just we're getting slaughtered over at Weyland-Yutani. I mean, I guess it's a good kind of slaughtered because we're making money. But it's not leaving as much time for podcasting as the great one would like. Speaking of podcasting, let's start here. So I found this website somehow or another. I don't remember exactly how I ran across it. That's interesting. Okay, here we go. It is fightwhitegenocide.com. They have a podcast. All right, well, let me download the podcast. I'll have a look at this. If you still think that white people have a chance of not being exterminated, I need you to go to fightwhitegenocide.com and download this podcast and listen to it. And if that does not convince you that white people are dead, nothing will. There's, I don't know, 3-4 people on there. You know, one of them is a woman, and I'm really serious. I don't care about the opinions of women on politics and philosophy. And I know, yes, I know I'm sexist, but I don't fucking care about being sexist. I'm just telling you the truth because I'm not going to lie to you like every other motherfucker with a podcast. Right? Woman, just shut up. Okay, the reason, one of the main reasons we're fucked is because of women. Turd Flinging Monkey did a great 1-minute mystery explaining, you know, what's wrong, and it's female empowerment. But without going off on women, listen to this podcast. These are the whitest of the white. I'm listening to it because it's like watching a train wreck. It's so boring. It's, well, hi, I'm Bethany and I'm white. And why, did you know that people who talk about diversity, well, they're anti-white. And we need to use the word anti-white. Isn't that right, Tom? Why, yes, I'm Tom and I'm white also. And yes, people who talk about diversity, well, diversity actually means anti-white. Well, I mean, now, I recognize that the Great One figured this out about 5 years ago, but see, I'm talking about it now. And so we need to tell everyone that diversity is anti-white. Hey, Bob, what do you think? Well, hi, I'm Bob and I'm white also. And did you know that if countries that have brown people in them are so wonderful, then wouldn't people want to go to countries that have brown people? But yet, people in brown countries are leaving brown countries to come to white countries. Wow, look at that.
I'm going to pretend I came up with that myself because I'm white, even though the Great One himself, the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society, who has far more personality, even on a bad day, than all of us do on a good day, even though he figured this out years ago and has been saying it over and over and over, but I'm white and I'm going to fight white genocide, because whenever somebody talks about diversity, I'm going to tell them that diversity is anti-white, because I'm so white. But remember, we don't advocate violence, because we always got to throw that in there, right? We don't advocate violence. We don't advocate violence. And that's why you're losing, because, hey, cucks. Okay, for people who are running a website called fightwhitegenocide.com, you are the biggest fucking cucks I've ever fucking seen in my life. Your enemies who want to kill you advocate violence. But you sit there with your, well, we don't advocate violence. So then how are you going to stop them from killing you? How exactly are you going to stop people from killing you if you won't kill the people who are going to kill you? Explain to me your problem. Well, we're going to talk about how diversity is actually anti-white. Yes, and the Jews in the fucking concentration camps were allowed to talk about how the Nazis didn't like them, but they still got gassed, didn't they? My God, you people, not only are you cucks, you're boring. Oh my God. It's so fucking white. It's so boring. None of them have, I've only listened to 3 episodes. I'm on the 4th one. No personality. No, you can't even tell one from the other. Like, the only way I know a different person is talking is because sometimes the woman talks and so her voice is different. It is the most boring fucking podcast ever. Jesus Christ. And I'm listening to this. I'm going, okay, great. These are my allies. I'm fucked. I am on my own. I am 100% on my own. These are the people who are quote unquote on my side. And their solution is that whenever somebody talks about diversity is just to point out, oh, and I've got this. Well, you know, that when I say that brown people are leaving brown countries to come to white countries, that's a conversation stopper. I'm thinking, no, it's not. Have you ever actually said that to a real human? You say that to somebody who is into political correctness, you're not going to stop the conversation. They're just going to call you a racist, because these fuckwits over at the fightwhitegenocide.com podcast are in the place where I was like 10 years ago. I thought, and I've talked about this before, and I had this bit that I used to do that I thought was, and I don't even remember what the bit was completely. Like, I just remember it involved somehow or another talking about killing sand niggers, because I thought that, well, if you called them sand niggers, people would be like, oh my God, you can't call them sand niggers. And then I would say, well, but then if I can't call them sand niggers, why is it okay to kill them, like drop bombs on them? And then people would go, wow, I never thought of that before. You're right. Maybe I should reconsider my position on dropping bombs on people in foreign countries. Because you see, I thought other people were rational and could reason and use logic, because I was stupid. And these people are where I was 10 years ago. They actually think they're going to be talking to some person who wants to exterminate white people. And they're going to say, well, if brown people are so great or whatever, like, why are brown people leaving brown countries to come to white countries? And the people who want to exterminate white people are going to be like, why? Oh my gosh, I've never thought of that before. I'd better reconsider all of my opinion. I mean, God damn it, you people are fucking dumb. You cannot reason with stupid. It doesn't work. So anyhow, God, it's entertaining, but not in the way it's entertaining, like, you know, listening to the goddamn Bacon or T.J. Martinell or Aaron Cleary or Adam Piggott or Frank Cervi. It's entertaining in the vein of enjoying the decline of just looking at it and seeing, okay, great, these are my allies. This is what I've got to work with. We don't advocate violence. We're going to use logic and reasoning to convince people that diversity is anti-white. We need to control the narrative. You're not going to control the narrative. The narrative is gone. The narrative is so far beyond your control. The narrative is fucking out there by Saturn, and you're hanging around Venus, okay? That's how fucking far away the narrative is from your fucking control. And not only is the narrative beyond your control because you think you're going to reason with stupid people, but the narrative is way beyond your control because you're boring as fuck. Like him or hate him, Donald Trump became president of the United States. And one of the reasons he became president of the United States is because he was not boring as fuck. And everybody else is interesting. This filed us under the category of things you already knew. So I'm getting ready to do this podcast, and I'm like, okay, I want to make sure I get the website right for this Fight White Genocide podcast. So I go to the Googleverse, google.com. And you've got a little search thing there, right? And you know it has this auto-suggest. So I type in Fight. Hold on, let's go back. F, Facebook. This is the auto-suggest. So first is Facebook, and then is Fox News. And then third is Food Near Me. F-I, what is that word? Fidelity? Okay, sure. I don't know why I'm searching for that. First Bank, Find My iPhone. F-I-G, Figurative Language, Fight Club. G-H, Fight Club. T, Fight Club. Fight, space, white. No, W. Fight With My Family. H, Fight When You Feel Like Flying. I, Fight White Legs. Fight White Legs. All right, Fight White. Fight White Legs. Okay. Space, Fight White Legs. G, auto-suggest is completely gone. Fight White G, no auto-suggest at all. E, N, us, no auto-suggest. Oh, we finally got something. Fight White Genie. Hold on, I gotta learn to spell. Fight White Genocide. Not a single auto suggest. Nothing. These excruciatingly white people think they're going to control the narrative when the majority of the population gets all of their information through Google. Guys, the narrative is so far, you're not taking the narrative back. You're not going to control the narrative. You're not going to shift the narrative. You're not going to reason with people. You're not going to logic with people. You're going to die. That's what you're going to do. You're going to die. Because you refuse to defend yourselves. You're not going to defend yourselves with violence, and you've lost the ability to defend yourself with politics, right? It's already over. Like, there's not going to be, you're, I think a lot of people, by the way, this isn't what we're going to talk about today. It's doing a great job of not talking about the things we're not going to talk about today. I think many people are still, and I mean, you see this in the neo-Nazis or whatever you want to call them, right? The people who, the National Socialist, people say, well, we need a National Socialist government, and that's going to protect the interest of white people. Guys, you're not, the government is not going to help you. You are politically outnumbered. You're not going to get a National Socialist government. This fantasy you have that someone is going to get elected who is going to stop the influx of immigrants and just whatever it is you think is going to happen. All the things you thought Donald Trump was going to do, they're going to build a wall and stop the influx of immigrants. Whatever it is you think is going to happen, it's not going to happen. If you are relying on the state to do anything to protect white people or save white people or create a place where white people can live, you're wrong. You've lost that battle. Okay? There are only three ways to go about this. There's a political solution, which is beyond your control because you're outnumbered and we live in a democracy. There is a violence solution, in which case we have a race war or a civil war or whatever, and people are actually shooting and killing each other. The third solution is to go someplace else. But due to the fact that technology has stopped progressing, and we don't have space stations or moon bases or space travel, there's nowhere else to go. Yes, you could go to a city out floating on the ocean, which is technologically viable, but once again, it's prohibitively expensive. It's not going to happen. It's beyond the realm of reason. It's beyond the realm of, not reason, it's beyond the realm of economics, I suppose. Plus, even if you built this white libertarian paradise floating on the ocean, it would only be a short amount of time before the government of the United States came and killed you. Because they would find an excuse. And this is something I've wanted to talk about for ages, and I've never really done it. I was going to do a very extensive podcast on this entire topic, and I'd never gotten around to it. But here's the short version. I mean, if this came into existence, there'd be this brain drain from the United States to this floating libertarian paradise, and the government of the United States isn't going to let that happen. They will find an excuse to drop a bomb on it, just like they find an excuse to drop bombs on all these countries in the Middle East. So, I mean, those are your options. Your options are political solution, violence solution, or relocate solution. There's nowhere to relocate to, which is financially viable. Political solution, you're outnumbered politically. Democracy, that's not going to happen. Donald Trump was a fluke. The fact that he won, once again, look at the numbers, more people voted for Hillary. The only thing that got Trump in was the Electoral College, and the Democrats are working hard to fix that. I mean, there's a lot of reasons to think Donald Trump will get elected again. The biggest one is that, you know, typically if the economy is good, the president gets reelected, the economy is good, blah, blah, blah. But I think you people may be underestimating the amount of hate for Donald Trump. But then again, liberals are also lazy. So I don't know. I'm less certain about predicting this election than I was about the last one when I said Hillary Clinton was going to win. I think there's way too many variables on this one for me to make what I feel is a good prediction. So, I mean, the only option you have that's viable is violence. It's not the best option, but it's the only one that's left. Because violence is the lowest of the low roads. And I admit that. I'm not, when I sit here and I fucking make fun of you for not advocating violence, it's not because I'm saying violence should be your number one resort. I'm saying because your enemies are going to use violence against you. And if you are not willing to retaliate in kind because you've got this fucking mindset of, well, if we use violence to defend, we're just like them. This fucking just like them. These fucking so-called morals that you get from watching TV. We'll be just like them. And as I've said before, yeah, you see these pictures of the Jews being put on the fucking railway cars right? You see 200 fucking Jews, and you see 7 guards with machine guns. Not one of them sat there and said, hey, why don't we rush the fuck? Or if anyone did, everybody else told him to shut up. Say, hey, why don't we rush the guards, take their machine guns, shoot them, and get the fuck out of here? Oh, no. Why, then we'd be just like them. Why, we have to get on the railway car and just go wherever they take us because, well, they're the government. And we don't want to use violence to defend ourselves because we'd be just like them. Just like them. And that's your biggest fucking fear, you fucking cucked white people. You're so goddamn scared of being just like them that you're going to go extinct. And considering you haven't done anything worth a shit, you haven't built a moon base, you don't have any space stations, we aren't going to Mars, we don't have teleportation or flying cars, considering you haven't done anything with your fucking worthless lives, I'm not sure I give a shit. All right, I had to walk away for a second because the phone was going off. I had to see if it was important, if it was either work or some hot chick. No hot chicks. All right, so let's get to the things we're going to talk about today. What I want to do, now I'm pretty sure I don't have time for all of this. Oh! Okay, let me do this real, because this is a fast one. This tangents on what we were just talking about. So there's this old British TV show, science fiction, called Blake's Seven. And long story short, it's about this Blake, and he's got his little gang of merry men and women, and they are rebels and flying around in their spaceship against the totalitarian government in the future, right? So it's that kind of show, but it's pretty good. It's got some dark shit in it sometimes. And I think Adam Piggott is a fan also, because Adam has mentioned Blake's Seven. So if Adam Piggott thinks it's good, then it's probably good. It is a good show with some very dark moments and also some, you know, I'm trying to think, when did Blake 7 made? It's got to be, I'm kind of guessing, but I want to say 1970s? Maybe 1980s? Late 70s, early 80s? So anyhow, Blake and Gann is one of his troops, one of his men, one of his crew. That's the word I'm looking for. The crew of his ship. So these guys are all, everybody with Blake, they're all criminals in the eyes of the totalitarian government. So Gann is one of Blake's crew. And there's this episode where they're going to go to essentially the mafia, and they want to get help from the mafia. And in order to get help from the mafia, Blake is going to give the mafia these drugs that they have and say, hey, you know, we'll give you these drugs if you just help us out with this thing. And so Blake and Gann are having this discussion. And I wrote this down because this is perfect. So Blake says, the drug in return for their help. And then Gann says, well, that would make us pushers. And Blake says, well, maybe we won't keep our end of the bargain. Gann says, well, that would make us cheats. Blake says, that would make us winners. That's the only excuse for fighting. And I thought that quote, yeah, that will make us winners. That's the only excuse for fighting. And when I look at all the whitey white McWhite people who do things like, well, we have a podcast at fightwhitegenocide.com. Oh, but we don't advocate violence. Guys, winning is the only excuse for fighting. You claim to be fighting, but you're clearly not interested in winning.
Or at the very least, you're in denial, because once again, political process gone. That's not an option anymore. Going someplace else, physically migrating someplace else, gone. Not an option. The only thing left is violence. As distasteful as it may be, for you to just automatically, unequivocally reject violence, even in self-defense, even if they start shooting you first, if you're going to just stand there and say, well, we're not going to shoot back, then why are you bothering? Because you're not going to win. I know you think there's this magic third option, fourth option, I can't count. You think there's this magic fourth option, which is that you're going to reason with these, you're going to reason with them. The only excuse for fighting is to win. This is why the Great One has said in the past, I've said this for years and years and years, maybe for the whole 15 years I've been podcasting. If you let your enemies live, you have to live with your enemies. Violence should always be last resort. And I'm not talking about self-defense. I'm not talking about personal level self-defense. I'm talking about mass violence. I'm talking about warfare. If things get so bad that you have an outright war between two nations, I don't mean nation state, I don't mean state, I mean country, I mean nations of people. As terrible as this sounds, if you don't completely wipe out your enemies, it's going to come back to haunt you. If it gets that bad, you can't half-ass it. You have to go all the way.